Welcome back to the Rose Garden Report podcast. I'm Sean Hyken, the author of the Rose Garden Report newsletter, which you can subscribe to at rosegardenreport.com. Free and paid subscriptions are available. Make sure you go sign up for a paid subscription to get the full episode of this podcast, which you can get most episodes on Apple, Spotify, everywhere else you get podcasts. So make sure you do that. You guys already kind of know the vibes here. Eric Gunderson is back.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm not sure really what there is to, you know, where the Blazers season is at right now, you know, one of the biggest cliches of kind of NBA discourse is that this part of the season is called, I don't know if you've ever heard this term before, Eric, the dog days.
The dog days, I've heard of that. I heard of one from our friends at You Know Ball that I really like too, Mickey Mouse March.
Mickey Mouse March, yes, exactly.
That's another good one.
Where it's just, you know, it's like the post-trade deadline, pre-playoff push type of just like, I don't know, man. Like this stretch, especially in a season like this for, you know, a rebuilding team where like the game-to-game stuff just like does not matter at all, and you're just kind of looking for individual development, and there hasn't even really been much of that because guys have been injured. They've started to get some guys back, like
Delano Banton says otherwise.
Yeah, that's the thing.
There's been no development.
The Delano Banton thing, and he just had the revenge tour. Their last two games were against the Raptors and the Celtics, and you know, he's pulling up to remix games now. It's like he's fully, you know, integrating himself into things. And now, you know, he's now like if this were 2009 and we were on, you know, 2009 Blazers Edge energy, Delano Banton would be multiple like threads about Delano Banton being an untouchable future trade piece and building block.
Yeah, like you only trade him for like, you know, Wemby.
And even then,
you're not sure.
I don't know. He's.
Do you include him in the Chris Paul package? Shout out to that era.
Steve Blake, Travis Outlaw,
and maybe one first for Chris Paul. You know what I mean? Like maybe
that was the the 2009 Blazers. We need that energy back, man.
Dude, I mean, Kevin Pritchard definitely spoiled the Blazers in terms of just, like, getting dudes for, like, almost nothing. And then, like, I mean, like, the LaMarcus trade and, like, I mean, just, like, the things that he did, like, in those couple of years were definitely got people thinking, like, you could get anybody for, you know, for free, basically. But, yeah, I mean, that's...
Tyler Hero and two firsts for Dame.
Exactly. Which...
That should be enough.
Yeah. Well, it is funny, like ever since, I mean, not ever since, they still had some bad losses after that, but it does seem like, you know, not to make it a Bucks podcast, but the Bucks are starting to put it together a little bit, it seems like. So,
it's all about the Patrick Beverley thing changed everything.
Dude, I had my third eye open about that the whole time because I was just like, Dame would have never asked to have Patrick Beverley on his team, and that's exactly why it works, because it's not something that he would have done himself, and it's honestly something that I think the Blazers probably could have done a little bit more of. Not necessarily Patrick Beverley, not to rehash the whole Dame era, but I do think sometimes towards the end there, we were maybe making a little too many moves that were like, you know, coming pre-approved instead of like, actually, we think this is going to work and we are going to stand on it. And just because you might not like it on the surface, you know what I mean? Like, I do feel like, for instance, like Delano Banton, I did not think that that was going to be a trade. Like, obviously it's still Mickey Mouse March, and you know, the staying power of him beyond this is, but like, I was like, oh dude, this is just like a tank move. Like, I didn't think it was, and then all of a sudden he's just balling and like is good and is helping. And like, I mean, when they didn't have Scoot or Ant for some of those games, like, or then they had Ant, but they didn't have Scoot, they didn't have other guards. And he just really kind of stabilized some things. And I thought it would just help make them more watchable, which is like the only goal that I have when I watch a Blazer game is like, can it keep my attention beyond the first quarter. And Banton has helped with that.
Really, the watchability, and you're, you know, to your point, the watchability is really what I think everybody is looking for these last 5 or so weeks of the season. And there's starting to be a little bit more of that with, you know, DeAndre Ayton is back, Scoot is back. Allegedly, Shaedon Sharpe might play at some point before the end of the season. That's something they keep saying. And I keep hearing that they want him to go the last 5 to 7 games of the season, assuming his rehab from the core surgery keeps progressing and there's no issues there. But that would be something that I think would give these games a lot more intrigue, because this is, it's going to be pretty tough. Like, we're in the middle of a, we're, you know, it's 3 games into a 6-game homestand, or no, 4 games into it, because the two that they have left are the Hawks tomorrow. We're recording this on a Tuesday, the Hawks tomorrow and the Knicks on Thursday. And then they have like a few more games, and then they have that 7-game road trip where it's like Boston, Orlando, Miami. Like,
it's, yeah, basically takes them all the way to April, basically, right? Yeah. That road trip. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's really just a lot of just like, hope these games are watchable. And I think, I mean, the thing that is, I guess we'll call this a pleasant surprise from the standpoint of those of us who do this professionally and don't have the option of just checking out for the season.
Right.
They are not, it seems like, going full shutdown on everything. Like, yeah. I think Malcolm Brogdon is like, Chauncey keeps saying that, like, he's doing more and he's going to be back soon. Brogdon is the one where I think that's probably, it's probably a wrap for him. I think they realize they're probably going to have to do something with him in the off season and they don't want him to get hurt. So that one I understand. But like, if they were doing the full, like, we're just shutting everybody down to tank thing, like they did the last 2 years, Jeremy Grant would not have played last night.
And, no, and,
like,
and
they would have found something for Ant by now, or like DeAndre Ayton may have, like, they might have tried to, you know, that hand thing that he just missed some games with, they could have kind of strung that out a little bit more if that was what they were going to do. But, you know, and I think the thing they've kind of, and I think this is the right way to do this, has kind of realized, is that if you're not going to be winning, you want to see some development. And if the guys that you are actually going to have next year, like, you know, a DeAndre Ayton, who, as far as I know, is still in their future plans, and Anfernee Simons, who, as far as I know, is still in their future plans. If those guys aren't playing and getting reps with the young guys and you're not winning, it's like, what, like, I don't think anybody really has any appetite for a repeat. Certainly not, you know, the organization is going to do what it does, but, you know, between, you know, the way that the way that, like, the TV stuff was talked about when it was like the ratings were down, and that was a whole week of, like, discourse. It's like, if the team is acting like this season doesn't matter, why should fans care about this season? And I think at least, you know, a saving grace here is that the Blazers organization is still acting like these games matter for development, and outside of Brogdon, they're playing their guys and they're trying to win these games, even though they're most nights, like, especially last night against the Celtics, they just were not going to win that game because the Celtics are the best team in the league and have way more talent than the Blazers do. So even if they, you know, played, you know, hung in there for 2.5 quarters, like, that was just never going to be a matchup that they were going to be able to do anything with. But you're not watching these games and feel like you're just completely wasting your time like you were this time last year.
No, and I mean, I think, you know, you and I have both been on Ant for his, like, you know, just not being consistent enough to, like, you know, even though his averages are good, you know, but I feel like he's had some really good games recently, most notably the Minnesota game. They lost a close game at Minnesota, and he was phenomenal. I think he had 34 points and 14 assists, like, and just being able to deal more with.
This has been the free preview of this week's paid episode of the Rose Garden Report podcast, which you can get in full at rosegardenreport.com. If you sign up for the paid subscription, you can get the free episodes, as always, on Apple and Spotify and everywhere else. But the second episode each week is only for paid subscribers. So if you want to hear the rest of this episode, go sign up right now.